I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel, the second chapter this evening. While you're turning there, let me preface my remarks tonight by saying to you that 2 weeks ago, I believe it was two Sunday evenings ago, that I talked to you at some length about, primarily from the New Testament, about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and how God's Spirit fills us, how we experience the filling of the Spirit of God, and the evidence of that filling, the experiential filling that the Bible calls and we have come to know as the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or the endowment with power, the endowment of the Holy Spirit and with power. As I was reading this week and along in the passage that I shared with you this morning, I uncovered just a verse that struck me. And as it did, I thought some more about it, just meditated on it, and looked at some other scriptures that related to that. And I want to talk to you tonight along a little different line about another aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit, another facet of the filling of the Holy Spirit and staying full of the Holy Spirit. We said 2 weeks ago that Jesus had described an experience with the Holy Spirit that was subsequent to salvation that would cause us to be so full of the Spirit of God that we would overflow in a heavenly language in praise and worship and adoration to God. The Bible calls it speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And we know that we can and should, as Christians, all receive that experience and walk in it, and that be a part of the normative Christian life as far as the New Testament is concerned. But as I said, I want to share with you another facet of being filled with the Spirit. I think you will catch it when we read these two verses, beginning in the first verse of Ezekiel chapter 2. And these are the verses that caught my attention this week, just reading through this passage. And we use this as a springboard to share some other thoughts along these lines. And he said, I guess perhaps I maybe ought to go up to the 28th verse of the previous chapter so that you can see what's happening here. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. Ezekiel is having a wonderful visitation of God here and a wonderful experience of the presence of God. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now, note the words, the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel is having a person-to-person experience with God himself, and he's experiencing the glory of the Lord and describing best he can, this is what it was like. And he said, when I saw it, that is the glory of the Lord, you can see the glory of God. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Now watch the second verse. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now let me read just a portion of that second verse once again, and I want you to be thinking along with me tonight. Ezekiel said, recounting this magnificent experience that he had with God, he said, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. The Spirit came into me as he spoke. As God spoke to me, his Spirit entered into me. I got to thinking as I read that. I got to thinking about what Jesus had said in John. You might hold your finger right there. We may be back to that. But turn over to the Gospel of John and look at the 6th chapter just a moment. John chapter 6, Jesus speaking to his disciples in verse 63. John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The word quickeneth means giveth life or maketh alive. It is the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. How are we going to tap in to the Spirit of God that produces life? It's one thing to know that God's Spirit brings life, but how are we going to apply that, and how are we going to tap into that life? How do we have access to the Spirit of God? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what was Jesus saying? First of all, the flesh is of no profit. It's the Spirit that makes us alive and keeps us alive. It's the Spirit that ministers to us the life, the nature, the character of God. And the way that Spirit is ministered to us is through the words of God. When we hear the Word of God in a form which we only rarely experience, rarely are aware of, I should say, the words of God entering us causes His Spirit to enter as well. Now, let me explain to you. I think you'll be able to relate to this. You just think with me just a moment. You've all, I believe, experienced this. You've been sitting in a church service. You've been listening to the radio. You've been watching a television program, a Christian television program. You've been sitting in Sunday school, some place where the Word of God is being explained, it's being read, it's being taught. And all of a sudden, while you're sitting there and listening, and the Word of God comes forth, and it is, we use the word, quickened to you. It becomes alive to you, and you feel the presence of God. You may feel it in different ways. When it comes upon me, I get all quivery. When it comes upon you, it may give you just a sense of exhilaration, a sense of joy. On another person, it may bring a wave of peace that is quite different from the circumstances that you were in just a moment before. Oftentimes, you feel a tingling sensation as the Word of God enters into you and you sense this tingling all over you. What is that? It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God entering you in a fashion. You're sitting in the privacy of your own bedroom or your living room or your den or your study or wherever you do, or in your car or wherever you happen to be reading the Word, and you're reading through the Word of God, and all of a sudden you come to a verse that when you read the verse, something just goes all over you, something good, something wonderful. You can feel it. There's a physical sensation there that blesses you. What is that? As the Word of God enters you, so does the Spirit of God. Now, if you've experienced that, you know what Ezekiel was sensing. But I want you to understand that according to the Word of God, whether or not you feel something, when God's Word goes into you, God's Spirit does as well, whether you're aware of it or not. Whether you have a physical sensation or a physical manifestation or not, if you are listening to the Word of God and receiving the Word of God and you have your ears on, so to speak, and God's Word is going into you, then His Spirit as well is going into you. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that makes alive. My words are spirit, and my words are life. If you will listen to my words, Jesus said, you will have the Spirit of God ministered to you and life ministered to you. Now, this is why Paul talks in his letters about the power of God's Word to save. Romans 1 and 16 says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. The Word itself, as it goes forth, is a living force, and there's power in it to save. There's power in it to heal, and there's power in it to deliver. Now, Ezekiel sensed this even under the old covenant. Here's this man flat on his face in the presence of the glory of God. And God speaks to him out of the glory. Now, under the old covenant, the glory as it was made manifest in the old covenant, the glory of God was as a cloud. In the tabernacle, when the glory of God was visible, it was the tabernacle was filled with smoke. And the glory of God could be seen. That's apparently what Ezekiel is experiencing here. And he says that as he heard God's words, the Spirit entered into him. And as the Spirit entered into him, it quickened him and strengthened him, and he was able to then stand up. Now, if we look at the third chapter of Ezekiel, we find a similar experience sometime later, beginning to read in the 22nd verse. This is not quite as clear, but it's apparent that this is the same kind of thing happening. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Same kind of situation. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, Go shut thyself within thine house. And he goes on to give him some additional instruction. In the book of Daniel, we see an event that is similar as well. Daniel's the next book in the Old Testament. And if you'll turn with me to the 10th chapter, and I'll begin to read at the 5th verse, and we see the same idea. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold from Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. He was so overwhelmed with the visitation of God that he had no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. This is interesting. I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and behold, and my face was toward the ground. So he is flat on his face on the ground as he hears the voice of God, and he hears his words. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, and he goes on to give answer here, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now, as the words came into him, so did a power, a spiritual power, but even more than that, a physical power. He said, I could not stand up. I had no strength. But as he spoke his words, and as his words came in to me, as he spoke these words unto me, something occurred which I'm not sure I quite understand, but I then was able to stand up, even though I was trembling. I had the strength to stand. Now, I put all this together to say this. God's word, no matter how it comes to us, is so profitable for us and so necessary. I do not know any strong Christians who are not strong in the word. I do not know people who stay full of the Spirit who do not stay full of the word. Now, you can come to this altar 2 weeks ago, or you can come tonight, and you can have hands laid on you, and you can ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and he will, and you can speak in other tongues. But I'm going to tell you, if you will not apply yourself to the Word of God, it won't be any time at all before you're not speaking in tongues any longer. You have no more flow. And you will have very little of the power of God operating in your life, and if you continue to starve your spirit, staying out of Sunday school, out of church, away from your private devotions, and out of the Word of God, that which is in you will just run out little by little, but sooner or later, and eventually, it will be gone. You may be filled with the Spirit, but you're going to have to stay filled with the Spirit. And the only way I know how to stay filled with the Spirit is to stay full of His Word. For as the Word comes into us, so does His Spirit. Now, it's it's so important as I watch the Lord minister to people in this congregation. I watch folks come and I watch them get saved. I watch them come and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I watch them come and eagerly take of the Word of God and just devour God's Word. They just seem to love it. And then all of a sudden something happens. I don't know what brings it on, but you don't see them for a few weeks. You don't hear from them. They don't form associations within the body, have fellowship within the body, don't seem to be really very involved in what's going on here, not involved in any other church. When you talk to them, they don't know anything about their Bible. When you sit down to counsel them, they can't find, they don't know whether to look in the Old Testament or the New Testament to find very basic books, the kinds of things that you and I, some of our younger children are better at finding passages in the Bible. Some of our 6 and 7 year olds are better than many adults who are baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Because those people are not giving attendance to the Word of God. And I'm telling you that if you do not give attendance, I'm going to tell you about myself. If I wouldn't give attendance to the Word of God, I would dry up like an old prune. And I know it. Now see, I cannot afford the luxury of staying out of the Word of God because I must speak the Word of God to you at least 3 times a week. And I'm speaking it to others one-on-one every day. And I can't afford to not be in the Word. I can do it. But I see how it could be if I was not responsible to minister the food of God's Word to you on a regular basis. It's very easy. I see it in my own life, how other things come in and crowd out the reading of God's Word and the study of God's Word. And how easy it would be to go days and then even weeks at a time. If I go a couple of days and don't have time in the Word of God, I'll make time and go back and make it all up. Because I know if I don't put it in, I've got nothing to, I just don't have anything to minister. I know how easy it would be on a Sunday afternoon when you have a beautiful Sunday afternoon and maybe you're off with the family somewhere and you kind of enjoy that, and it's a drag to get back home and get the kids all together and get them to church and so on, or maybe you're taking a nap. You like to nap on Sunday afternoon, and comes about 6 or 6:30, and I just really don't. The kids are sleeping nicely, and I just really don't want to get them up, and I just really don't want to go on to church. I am so glad I have to be here. Amen. See, if I didn't have to be here, I'd be tempted the same way you are. Now, if I didn't have to be here, this is what I would do, knowing what I know. I would make a decision that come hell, high water, the rapture, I'm going to be here. And then when the alarm goes off at 5:30 or 6 or 6:30 or whatever, or when you're out somewhere and you have to kind of break away from whatever you happen to be doing, you have a commitment and you have a decision, you've already made the decision, then there's no problem, you say, breaking loose on that. I'd make a decision about my personal time in the Word of God. And the only way I know how to do what must be done for those of you who do not have a responsibility to stand in the pulpit and deliver the Word of God from time to time is to decide to give God's Word first place in your life. As you do, the entrance of God's Word will cause the fullness of His Spirit to remain in your life so that you stay full. Now, look with me at the book of Proverbs. And let's read chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me make this observation. This is not original. I heard Jimmy Swaggart say this once, and I liked it. He said, he was talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, being full of the Spirit. I'm talking also about being full of the Spirit, but a little different aspect, if you understand the direction we're moving today. He said this, if you're a Christian and you intend to die tonight and go to be with Jesus, you don't have to be full of the Spirit. But if you expect to not die tonight and live here for a while and make it, you got to be full of the Spirit of God. To that I say amen. If you're not going to be around, if you're going to check out tonight, don't worry about this. But if you expect to be here tomorrow and the day after and the next day and next week and next month, you're not going to make it unless you're full of the Spirit. And you're not going to be full of the Spirit just because you came to this altar or some other altar and you knelt or you stood, somebody laid hands on you and you received the infilling of the Holy Spirit and you spoke out in other tongues. You're going to have to stay full. And the only way you can stay full is with the Word of God. If I was going to spend the rest of my life on a desert island all by myself, the one thing I certainly want to have with me is the Word of God. I could make it if I had the Word of God. I could make it if I had the Word of God. Pastor, you'd starve to death on a desert. Are you kidding? The Word made flesh took a little boy's lunch and turned it into a lunch for 5,000 people. I remember a time when the devil said to Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you take that stone over there and turn it into bread? Now, I know that the Word of God in the flesh could have turned that rock into bread. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a temptation for him. And the Bible says he was tempted. So I don't want a grocery sack. I want this. Because this will keep me alive, you see. Keep me going. All right, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Keep yourself tuned into the Word of God. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep Christian stations on your radio. Hello?
Amen.
Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? The words of God are what?
Life.
Oh, Jesus said that too, didn't he? The words I speak unto you are life. If you want to experience life, you're only going to find it in the Word of God. The words of God are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Give attendance to my words, Jesus said. In the Proverbs there. Now, Matthew 22 and verse 29 is another verse that bears on this. I'm going to lift it kind of from its context, but I think you'll understand the application of it, and I think you'll permit me to do this. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Jesus is having a discussion with the Sadducees, and the Sadducees are questioning him about the resurrection. And this is the question about the woman who had seven brothers as her husbands, one after the other, and whose husband is she going to be in the resurrection, and so on. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, and this I want you to see, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. What did he say? You don't know the scriptures, therefore you don't know the power of God. You can't know the power of God without knowing the Word of God. You can't experience the power of God without knowing the Word of God. For the Word of God and the power of God are one and the same. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Would you like to read this one aloud? I think this is one that we all know pretty well. As a matter of fact, we even sing this from time to time. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. David said, I know that I cannot make it unless I have your word. I can't make it. I can't live unless I have your word. And so I've taken your word and I've hidden it in my heart in order to protect me and to preserve me so that I'll not sin against you. For you see, when you take God's word into your heart, you're taking God's spirit into your heart. You're taking God himself. For he and his word are the same. Hebrews 4 and verse 2 tells us how we must read the word and how we must hear it. When you come to the house of the Lord or when you read it yourself in your own private devotions, is it important, the attitude that you have as you approach the Word of God? Yes, it is. For unto us was the gospel preached, the Word of God was preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. It didn't do them any good. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. They did not believe that it was any different from any other word. They had no confidence in its power. The reason that I feel the Lord would have us to share this tonight is so that you would understand what it is that's happening to you when you read the word. When you hear it preached, what is going on? What's happening? God's Spirit is filling you and filling me. I don't know about you, but I had a filling this morning as I ministered that word. It ministered to my heart. It meant a great deal to me. I experienced that. Now, whether I experience it or don't experience it, yet it is happening. And when we sit in the service like we are here tonight, and it does not appear that we have a great deal of Spirit moving in the service tonight. But that does not mean that God's Spirit is not filling us, those of us who are receiving the Word of God, with faith. Those of us who are believing in the power of God that is manifest in His Word. Those of us who are here because we're eager for the Word of God. Those of us who are listening because we want to know what God is saying. Those of us are being filled with the Spirit of God right now, and you can't even see it. Most of you can't even feel it. But it's happening. It's occurring. I will say to people from time to time, I want to see you in church. You need to be in the church service. I think sometimes folks think, well, that's all any pastor cares about is having all his chairs full. That's not what I'm concerned about. I know that if you're not here, I know you can be lost. I mean, lost to the kingdom. If that's a continual situation. It's difficult for us to function all by ourselves, and it's impossible for us to function apart from the Word of God. Now, this is precisely why in most of our traditional churches, there's death in the pot. That's why some of you don't know the story. I'll tell you that story another time. But the people come, and they sit, and it's preached to them, not the Word of God. They get man's word. And so they leave, and they have not received any of the Spirit of God. They have not had their spirit nourished or strengthened, and there's no life in them. The life is in the Word of God. Whether or not you feel it, the life is in there. This also explains why in our traditional denominational churches, where they do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but yet where the pastor preaches the Word of God, there's life in the people. They don't speak in tongues like you and I do. They don't even believe that it's for today, that it's a real experience for today. But yet when you get around them, you can feel the life. You can sense the presence of the Spirit of God. Why is that? They're studying God's Word. They're getting God's Word preached to them. They're reading the Word of God themselves. They're committed to God's Word, and God's Word and God's Spirit are one. And as they take the Word of God into them, they take the Spirit of God into them, and your spirit bears witness with their spirit. Even though they'd fight you over the tongues issue, your spirit and their spirit bears witness with each other. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, God's Spirit is His Word. Jesus said, "The words I speak, as they come out my mouth, I am ministering to you the Spirit of God. And if you will hear my words and believe them, God's Spirit will fill you more and more and more." James chapter 1 and verse 6. Let's begin at verse 5. Let's get the context. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I believe that this promise is broader than just wisdom. I believe the promise is appropriate for what we're looking at tonight. If any man would hear the Word of God and have God's Spirit fill him, let him ask of God. Verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." You could sit here in the service tonight as a skeptic. I could give you the pure Word of God, unadulterated. I could stand here, just read the Word and not even comment on it, give you just God's Word, and it could be such that it would not profit you at all if you were wavering, double-minded, or unstable. If you were not receiving it as the Word of God, not taking it into your spirit, it wouldn't profit you any. And so it's important that we give attendance to the Word of God, but it's also important that we believe that what we're hearing is the Word of God. And the reason that I believe the Lord would speak this to us tonight, let's go back to Ezekiel 2 again, is because I think I just sense that he would have us to be aware of what he's doing, and that this would not be a secret, and that we should expect to be more full of the Spirit after we leave the service than when we come in. Now, if I was in a situation where, knowing what I do now, if I were in a situation where I didn't know much about God, and I was not very, I wasn't sensitive to the things of the Spirit, and I didn't have much experience with the things of the Spirit, but I wanted to have more, I would devote myself to the Word of God. When we lead people to Christ, and if you're here tonight, if I led you to Christ, or if I prayed with you to receive Christ, or if you have been backslidden and perhaps come back to the Lord, you've given your life back to Christ and been serious about the things of God, all of you will remember I told you one thing, and that is give attendance to the Word of God. I want to see you in church, and I want you to read your Bible. 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 Don't you tell me you don't understand it. If you don't understand, A, if you don't understand, I'll get you a translation. You do. B, even if you don't understand it, it still will profit you. It still will profit you. I had for lunch, for dinner today, we had, you mind if I tell folks what we had? We had the most excellent dish of lasagna for dinner today after church. Now, when I put that lasagna on my fork and put it in my mouth and chewed it up real good and swallowed it, it went down on the inside of me. And somehow, miraculously, it is beyond my understanding, something occurred with that lasagna, and it turned immediately to fat. No, that's not what happened. My body took that food and converted it into strength and energy and the kinds of things that my body needs to function to be strong. I don't know how it did it. If you would ask me to explain how all of that takes place, I don't know how it takes place. All I know is if I didn't eat, I would be weaker now physically than I would be had I eaten. And if I continued not to eat, I would get continually weaker physically. I know the same thing about the Word of God. If I don't take it in, if you don't take it in, you will be weaker, whether you feel it, imperceptible, but you will be weaker than if you do take it in. I don't know how it works once it gets in there, but when it gets in your spirit, it profits you, it's beneficial to you, and without it, you cannot live. For he that finds the Word of God will find life. And he will find it to the fullest. But he that does not find the Word of God and does not give God's Word a prominent place in his life is not going to experience the fullness of God's life. If you don't ever remember anything else I tell you, in all the time I ministered to you, you remember the preeminence of the Word of God and the prominence that the Word of God must have in the life of a person. If you're going to live successfully and victoriously and overcomingly, it will only occur as the Word of God has a prominent place in your life. You will not find any of those things apart from God's Word. Bow your heads with me just a moment.